Jesus said, my Father doeth the works. When they told us the salary is one time, my wife said, it's not true. I said, I can't blame you, because I also said, it's not true. And I'm supposed to be the head. I said, when they told her, I said, it's not true. I said, let me see the paper. This is how much he pays. Who pays? If he didn't send you, you die. So you need to settle down and understand the difference between ambition and vision. So your ambition will not become your destruction. Somebody hearing what I'm talking about? My friend Creflo Dollar was here, and he asked me on when we were driving around, he said, look, Brother David, tell me, how do you pay for all these things? I smiled. I said, faith. Say with me, faith. Can my father's house pay for this one? Faith. 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 By the time you are paying labor, 17 million a week, labor, come and say labor. Labor to carry cement, to carry gravel, to carry carpentry work and all that stuff. And if it's from your father's house, you know the father's house will collapse. It has to be from above. That's what I know God wants to do with your life. By putting you on your main track of calling without swerving to the left or to the right. That's the only way to go. Listen to this. In Joel chapter 2, verse 1 to 11. We are told of this end time army. And we are told of what makes generals in this army. In Joel chapter 2, let's see what this army is all about. It's an army of men and women of exploits. Joel, the book of Joel, chapter number 2, very powerful scripture. Blow ye the trumpet in Zion, and sound an alarm in all my holy mountains. Let all the inhabitants of the earth tremble, for the day of the Lord cometh, for it is nigh at hand. A day of darkness and of gloominess, a day of clouds and of thick darkness, as the morning spread upon the mountains, a great people and a strong. There has not been ever the like, neither shall there be any more after it until the years of many generations. That is men of generational impact. Men, you'll be talking about the acts of God in their life generations after they are gone. And you know, the Bible recognizes 100 years as a generation. Amen. Amen. He said, after 4 generations, I will gather them again. And after 400 years, he called up his son out of Egypt. So a generation in biblical interpretation is 100 years. That's what the word is saying. There shall not be until the years of many generations. That is people, transgenerational impact. Impact that continues to be spoken about generation after generation. And that's where you belong. Look at what he said about these people. He said, a fire devoured before them, and behind them a flame burned. The land is as the garden of Eden before them, and behind them a desolate wilderness. Yea, and nothing shall escape them. They will be men and women of divine dominion. Nothing shall escape them. The appearance of them is like the appearance of horses. And as horsemen, so shall they run. Like the noise of chariots on the tops of mountains, shall they leap. Like the noise of a flame of fire that devoured the stubble, as a strong people set the battle in array. Before them, all things shall gather blackness. All people shall be much pain, and all faces shall gather blackness. They shall roar like mighty men. Listen, verse 7. They shall climb the wall like men of war. They shall march everyone on his ways, and they shall not break their ranks. That is the secret of their might. They shall be visionaries, men that operate by heavenly visions, men that pursue heavenly mandates, men that stay on course with God on earth. Neither shall one break thrust another. They shall walk everyone in his way, in his path, and when they fall upon the sword, they shall not be wounded. They shall be supernatural beings, commanding supernatural exploits. Verses 7 and 8 shows us the secret of the exploits of this army. Now, verse 11 now said, and the Lord shall... Now, let's look at it. He said, they shall run, verse 9, to and fro in the city. They shall run upon the wall. They shall climb up upon the houses. They shall enter in at the windows like a thief. The earth shall quake before them. I see earthquakers here. After this conference, I see you quaking wherever God has put you. God is beginning a shaking in your ministry already. Look at what he said. The earth shall quake before them. The heavens shall tremble. The sun and the moon shall be dark, and the stars shall withdraw their shining. And the Lord shall utter his voice before his army, for his camp is very great, for he is strong that executed his word. For the day of the Lord is great and very terrible, and who can abide it? He's strong that executed his word. So behind their exploit is God at work. Say with me, God at work. Behind their exploits is God at work. God at work. Behind their exploits is God at work. Behind their exploits is God at work. You remember the Bible said, and God also walking with them, confirming the word with signs following. God also walking with them. The work he has sent them. God also walking with them. The work he has sent them with signs following. God also walking with them. The work he has sent them with signs following. God also walking with them. The work he has sent them with signs following. That is why I said vision is the covenant seed for exploits. That is the root of exploits. That is where every exploit stems from. It is from a valid heavenly vision. A valid heavenly vision. For I know the plans I have for you, says God. The plans of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. It is the unfolding of that plan that we call vision. The unfolding of divine plan, Jeremiah 29 verse 11, that we call vision. And in case it doesn't come and an idea comes your way, say, come and pray unto me. And you shall seek me and find that plan, if you shall seek me with all your heart. Jeremiah 29 verse 13. So you go to him. This idea is coming to me. Is this your idea? Is it just a good idea or a God idea? I don't want a goose. Is it just a good idea or a God idea? If it's a God idea, then I'm ready. This is very important. Because before you were formed in the womb, he knew thee. And he separated you to specific mission on earth. Jeremiah chapter 1 verse 5. You are separated to a specific mission on earth. It is when you miss your mission, you become a victim of frustration. You are separated to a specific mission on earth. So a location of your mission on earth is what we call vision. And this is what God does. When you are faithful with one, he qualifies you for the next. And you are faithful in the next, he qualifies you for the next.
and you are faithful in the night, he qualifies for the next. So whatever he gave you at the beginning is a takeoff. That's your takeoff seed. When you handle it well, he begins to add to it whatever is in his original plan. But that has to be proved. Until Paul the apostle found what he was separated for, he was a nuisance. He was a vagabond. And then later on he said in Galatians chapter 1 verse 15, God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me to be an apostle. So until he found what his original mission was, he was a wild man. He was a mad man. He was a victim of frustrations. Nobody was paying him. He was going all over places arresting people. He was not on anybody's payroll. He was just suffering all around the city, all around the nation. Until he found where he belongs. My prayer is that no one here shall miss any aspect of his mission on earth. Whatever God has ordained you to birth, you will not miss it in the name of Jesus Christ. You will not miss it in the name of Jesus Christ. He said, I have not sent these prophets, yet they ran. Jeremiah 23 verse 21. Not everyone running is running in the right direction. I have not sent this prophet. Jeremiah 23 and verse 21. Yet they ran. I have not spoken, yet they prophesy. It's important for you and me to settle down for what God has ordained us to do. When the Lord delivered this heavenly mandate into my hand, I thought it was nothing but an outreach ministry. The hour has come to liberate the world from all oppressions of the devil. You can't liberate the world, in my own understanding, from the church. You have to liberate the world from the world. Going out there. My ideas were so formed. Until when God came and said to me, inasmuch as some have put to hand to put down in details all that Jesus did from the time he was baptized to the time he was received into glory, I also, he said, my son, I'm sending you also to be a part of this church wave. He told me early. Hello. He told me early. That was not my idea, but that was the idea. Somebody asked me, have you ever been wrong? I've been wrong severally. But every time I say, hey, boy, you are wrong, I make a U-turn. It takes meekness to pursue divine mandate effectively. It takes meekness. What we call divine direction is mostly divine correction. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So he tells you, boy, stop. That's not the way to go. Boy, stop there. That's not my plan. It takes meekness to receive correction after you have made declarations. It takes meekness. It takes meekness. He said, the meek will he guide in judgment. The meek will he teach his way. What man is he that fears the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. The secret of the Lord is to them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Psalm 25, verse 9, verse 12, and verse 14. So it takes meekness to walk into your greatness. Because it takes divine correction to remain on course in the pursuit of your vision. I thought, for instance, calling me into a full-time ministry, what do I know that will take me through? I must need to go outside and learn under those who knew it. There's nothing wrong with that. I said Paul the Apostle was said to be in Arabia for 3 years, and I perceive that's where he loaded all the revelation from heaven from. So my idea is that God will want me to be out. And then suddenly the Lord said to me, my son, the power you seek comes not from abroad, but from above. You are going nowhere. So he put me in the school of the Holy Ghost to cook me and prepare me for the assignment. God is always there if we are willing to listen to him. May I say this, therefore? There is no end to anyone's frustration who will not settle down to prove what he calls a vision. To prove it well enough. There will be no end to the frustrations of such life.
if you will let God lead the way, you'll never be stranded. The power of vision. What is it that makes vision that thick? Divine backing. Everybody say divine backing. Say it loud. Divine backing. Divine backing. Divine backing. Divine backing. That is what differentiates one ministry from another. One minister from another. That's what separates one man, one Christian from another Christian. If you can secure divine backing, no devil can stop you from advancing. No devil can stop you from going forward. No devil can stop you from going forward. And we are in the days of vision. So it's very important for us to know what it takes to operate in a valid vision. What it takes to operate in a valid vision. So we don't put ourselves under pressure, put our family under pressure, put our destiny under pressure, and miss God's ultimate plan for our lives. It shall not be so in the name of Jesus Christ. May I also say this at this point, that your purpose or not is not determined by you. It's determined by your maker. Who determines it? This piece of equipment, its function and purpose was determined in the factory. You don't buy it in your church to determine what to use it for, whether to use it as a pen or use it as a fork. The purpose was established from the factory. And I'm glad to let you know that your purpose on earth has been established from the factory of God, from where you came. For it is He that has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. So we are made. Psalm 100 verse 4 and Psalm 139 and verse 14. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. So we don't determine our purpose. We are only called to discover our purpose. Purpose is not to be determined by you and me, but to be discovered. Your maker is the custodian of your purpose. So get back to him and find out when you are confused. You don't decide your purpose. You only discover it. If you send yourself, you will have to pay the bills. But when he sends you, he will pay all the way through. When I sent you without purse or scrip or shoes, lack ye anything. Listen to this. If you take offering 20 times, can he pay the kind of thing I was sharing with you? There are too many junk methods people are using around the world today. Too many junk methods. Weary people in church. 5 times offering. 6 times offering. They leave you alone. Your pen, for instance, cannot decide to serve as a table knife. Can you do that? No. It is not designed for that. Your Bible will not serve successfully as a pillow on your bed. It is not designed for that. Your handbag cannot serve as your footwear. Can you imagine a woman now taking his handbag and putting her leg in it and say, I'm going. They say, well, I say, I want to use it for a different purpose today. Don't work. The plate on your dining table cannot serve as your cart to go to church. You put the plate on your head. They say, why? I'm using it as a hat today. It's my own. I can use it for anything. Now you see, my friend Miles Monroe said, when purpose is not known, abuse is inevitable. You are suited for something very special. Locate it and stay with it. Can I hear your loud amen? We are all vessels in that great house. And we are all for specific purposes. When we understand our purpose, then our glory will begin to shine. Please note that your conviction is not strong enough to determine your mission.
no matter how much this pen is convinced to serve as a table knife, it will not succeed. Your conviction is not strong enough to determine your mission. Your determination is not strong enough to determine your purpose. That's why I say, call upon me and I will answer you, and I'll show you great and mighty things that thou knowest not. It's time to go and discover what we don't know yet about our mission on earth. Let's go before the Lord and discover that. It's time we do. I thought our mission was going to have its base in Jos. And when it was being commissioned, we were prayed for as we go to Jos now, explode, and make things happen. And then in the night, I went to pray before the Lord, and the Lord said, it was not me you had yourself. He said, remember in 1974, when you were playing table tennis along Gentile area in Jos, you desired that if there is a choice as to where to live in future, that Jos would be that choice. He said, that was what you had, not me. I surrender Jesus. Anything you say, you are right. Anything you say, you are right. I was in Japan in 1991 and I got caught up with compassion for the people and gave my word, we are coming in the name of Jesus Christ. We'll start a Bible school here. We got a building for free and everything. And the Lord said to me, although there is a need in Japan, you are not the one I'm sending. May you not find yourself in another man's field. Although there's a need in Japan, you are not the one I'm sending. Many ministers have become mere tourists. What do I call them? They are just tourists. They are tourists. Tourists special. They hop from nation to nation, from place, as if that were a credential. As if that were a credential. And as they go from place to place, ministry keep going down more and more. More and more until they are looking for where it is and they can't find it. Although there's a need in Japan, you are not the one I'm sending. So a need is not equal to a calling. A need is not equal to a calling. A need is not equal to a calling. Listen to this, 1993 December. I thought that God was asking me that it was time to go out. Go out and reach out to the world. And I wrote a very fine document. Share with our pastors. Everything was said. My mentors approved of it. And then on the 31st of December, the Lord said, you are going nowhere. As for thee also, stand thou here by me. And 94 was our time of eruption. Say with me, eruption. Church moved from 3,000 to 10,000 in 1 year. 3,000 to 10,000. Following year, 10,000 to 19,000. Following year, 19,000 to 29,000. Just by one correction from heaven. Would you allow him to correct you? I had spoken to the pastors. We had prayed over it. I mean, we were excited about it. I had gone to my mentors and spoken to them. They had approved of it. And God said, as for thee also, thou shalt stand here by me. As for thee also, thou shalt stand here by me. As for thee also, thou shalt stand here by me. Since God told me, once he sent me to Japan, I've never crossed the place once since that year. I promise God not to step the place till I die. You say I'm not the one you are sending. Why should I be going there? Why should I be going there? To do what? I'm not a tourist. I'm on a mission. The time is short. I'm on a mission and the time is short. So stop roving the cities. Stop roving the countries. Stop, don't getting about from nation to nation. That is no credential in ministry. You know, in those days when you school in America and say, well, I just came back for University of Michigan, people will be clapping. If you go from anywhere, now that's your choice. Nobody is looking at you. You can come from anywhere. Anywhere. BAMA, Wisconsin. Ah! People will open their mouth. Nobody cares now where you're coming from. Come from Wisconsin or stay there, that's your problem. So the time of using traveling as a credential for ministry is gone.
You know, I was in America last week. I left America. I went to Jamaica. I left Jamaica. I went to Australia. And I just came back from Australia. And I'm just about going somewhere else. Now, I just go about. I go about anyhow. Shout hallelujah. Shout hallelujah.
Men that moved the world in all ages were men of purpose. Men of purpose. Men of purpose. Men on a mission. Highly disciplined, time disciplined people. That's who moved the world.
I was to give a lecture at the University of Minnesota this last February, and I couldn't go because I had some things to do here. So I gave that lecture through the net, and they beam it on the white screen in the place. Directly from my office, I was beaming it to them. This is the lecture, I can't come over there. And someone who was there said, it was as if I was present in that hall. America called you for a major lecture and said you can't go. Because you're on a mission. Come on, say on a mission. How many are on a mission here? Well, then shall we know if you follow on. It's not now, we know later. 20 children don't play for 20 years. We will soon know those who are on a mission and those who are having fun. We'll soon know those who are on a mission and those who are having fun. God said, sit down here. And I heard him. And January came, fire. February, fire. June, fire. Poo, 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 until we hit 10,000 because of the year. And I said, God, is it a stay here by me? Okay. God, I'm enjoying it. I stay with him. And again, we move that thing together to 19,000. The following year, God, what are you saying? He said, stay here by me. Okay, Lord. I stay with him and we move to 29,000. We left Yanepaja after counting 50,400 people. The last Sunday at Yanepaja was 50,400 people. You know, God is humorous. We are moving out to 50,000 place, so make us 50,000. Now, why not? By staying on your job. He said to me, as you pastor this one church, the whole world will become your parish. For I have ordained you to serve your generation. Why don't you have a church in town? He said, one church. Come and say, one church. See, what of those who cannot come here? They go to other churches. Why not? They are free. One church. I would rather obey God than fall for your feelings. By obeying, obedience brought us to this dimension of abundance. Obedience. Come and say obedience. Obedience. Obedience brought us to this dimension of abundance. Obedience will take you to anywhere. It will take you to anywhere. We'll make an announcement here. There is Healing Covenant, Healing Week next Sunday, and they will come from, you know, come from New York, come from this, come from that. We've never had Bible school here in Lagos without people coming from outside the country. From Switzerland, from Swaziland, from this, from that. I met a young man. I said, where are you from? He said, I'm from Swaziland. Swaziland in South Africa. I said, yeah. He came for Bible school. His church moved from 20 to 600. 20 to what? Within months. He said, now that this has happened by me, just locating what is on the net, I'm going there in person. So he came down here for Bible school. Someone came here from New York for the last February Bible school and got healed of 10 years of, what do they call it, ulcer? And for the, he's been on daily medication for 10 years. After that encounter in his lecture room, that was it. Throughout that week, no medication. The following week, no medication. He returned back to New York, a new man. As you pastor this one church, the whole world will become your parish, and for them you to serve your generation. Some people just see others spreading. They start spreading until they spread themselves out and away. The open parish